Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. The anger of the world is directed at South Africa's white minority government for its imposition of a harsh state of emergency nationwide, hoping to counter violence as the anniversary of the bloody Soweto uprising 10 years ago approaches. The United Nations Security Council has now joined individual governments in condemning the declaration. Britain and the U.S. joined the criticism, but the American delegate, Herbert Oken, was upset about the Soviets' refusal to allow any reference to a peaceful solution in the resolution.
Although we have gone along with the consensus, we take issue with certain language contained therein. The goal of such a statement from this body should essentially be a call for calm in a volatile situation. My government is convinced that all South Africans should use peaceful means on the solemn occasion of the 10th anniversary of the Soweto uprising.
This is Alan Fizzi in Johannesburg. Local and foreign press have been hit by South Africa's nationwide state of emergency. CBS News cameraman Wim de Vos has been ordered to leave South Africa by Tuesday night. No reasons for the order were given. Another CBS News crew and one from ABC News were held briefly by police yesterday while interviewing passers-by on downtown Johannesburg streets. George de Oth, a freelance cameraman employed by the British ITN network, died early this morning from massive injuries received when he was attacked while covering fighting in the Crossroads squatter camp near Cape Town last Tuesday. De Oth was the first journalist to be killed in the current South African racial conflict. He was hacked by men armed with axes and machetes. His sound man was injured. Police claim De Oth was attacked by the so-called comrades, the group in the camp which opposes the government. But colleagues who were there, including this reporter, believe the camera crew were victims of vigilantes, whom Crossroads residents claim are backed by the police. The police deny the charges. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, Johannesburg.
The nation has lost a musical giant with the passing of Benny Goodman, dead in New York of a heart attack at age 77. He was the uncrowned but undisputed king of the music called swing.
It was quite revolutionary at the time, the whole sound of it. And we just went ahead and did it. And so didn't know anything else to do. And that was what we enjoyed. And we had the fortitude to stay with it.
Trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie said, "You could spell jazz, B-E-N-N-Y-G-O-O-D-M-A-N. Peggy Lee first sang with the band in 1941.
He took everything he did very seriously. He taught me the value of rehearsing and discipline and of honing your craft.
For pianist George Shearing, Goodman's passing is the loss of a personal friend.
He made me feel happy, whether it was the trio, the quartet, the sextet, the big band, the wonderful arrangements of Mel Powell, the wonderful things he did with Teddy Wilson, Lionel Hampton, Jim Krupa. They all make you feel happy, whether they're ballads or jazz or what they are, because of the warmth of his tone."
So goodbye to Benny Goodman. The king is dead. The time now, 5 minutes past the hour. The cross currents of opposing philosophies are roiling the atmosphere in Denver this weekend. Both the National Right to Life Committee and the National Organization for Women are holding conventions, and there has been some trouble. Bob McNamara reports.
Though the conventions have gone about their routine business fairly routinely, the conventions have taken second place to the sideshows that came with them. 22 anti-abortion protesters were arrested trying to block the entrance to a Denver Planned Parenthood clinic. And Denver police briefly jailed anti-abortion activist Joe Scheidler on a warrant from Florida shortly after he hit town. Now President Eleanor Smeal has marched here against apartheid and four janitors in a downtown Denver office building. There's been a wave of Republican presidential possibilities coming in. Evangelist Pat Robertson, Congressman Jack Kemp, and Senator Bob Dole all appearing before the Right to Lifers. No major candidates or minor ones going before the NOW delegates. Most everywhere the conventioners have gathered, Denver police were sure to go. Officers on horseback, on fleets of motorcycles, or surrounding convention hotels. It's an expensive coincidence the two conventions are in town the same weekend. And much as this town wants convention trade, it's a coincidence city fathers really don't want to see happen again. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Denver.
The Senate spent much of the week in hand-to-hand fighting over the sweeping tax reform bill. Ike Pappas reports that when the smoke had cleared, the measure was in pretty much the same shape as when it started.
The coalition of Senate tax reformers, put together by Finance Committee Chairman Bob Packwood, has held together through some of the most intense Senate debate in recent memory. Amendment after amendment has been defeated, including one to restore the deduction for state and local taxes. The bill repeals those deductions. But other obstacles remain. Several politically popular amendments are expected to be proposed when debate resumes next Monday. One would raise the maximum personal income tax rate proposed in the Senate bill from 27% to 35%. But Senate leaders predict amendments will be defeated and the bill will pass early next week. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Florida Republicans are holding their first statewide convention in 7 years, with national GOP leaders urging them to work hard to preserve the party's control of the U.S. Senate. Forrest Smith of WRUF Gainesville reports from Orlando.
Most of the Senate seats up for election this year are held by Republicans, and former Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee says it's vital all Republicans have the same goals.
The most important single issue on the political horizon in 1986 is don't leave Ronald Reagan to the tender mercies of a Democratic majority in the United States Senate.
Florida Senator Paula Hawkins faces a strong challenge from Democratic Governor Bob Graham. She says if the Democrats get control of the Senate, Ronald Reagan would never again see any of his programs passed.
Ronald Reagan will not be a lame duck. He'll be a dead duck.
Howard Baker told the Florida GOP delegates the Florida Senate race could be one of the closest in the nation. Forrest Smith for CBS News, Orlando.
Illinois Democrats hold a state convention today in Chicago. The party was rocked this spring by the nomination of two candidates supporting extremist Lyndon LaRouche for top state positions. One of those candidates has been battling Democratic leaders for the opportunity to address the gathering, but yesterday a judge ruled that voting members of the state central committee will decide who speaks to the convention. Roman Catholic Cardinal John O'Connor of New York is in Lebanon, and he says he's willing to help in efforts to free foreigners kidnapped in the war-ravaged country. O'Connor arrived in the Christian East Beirut section today. He says he's available to mediate for the freedoms of 5 missing Americans, although he has no specific plans to intervene.